This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Revelation. Last book in the Bible, chapter 7. Revelation, chapter 7. Sounds like the name of a book. Where we left off last time. Now, Revelation 7, you need to know, is what is called a parenthetical chapter. This entire book is a prophecy of these end times, of the soon coming Antichrist, of the second return of Jesus, the millennium age, and the future, and also goes back into the world that then was. It is a parenthetical chapter. That means that it is in parentheses. Now, when you put something in parentheses, perhaps you've written a letter, and you were saying something, and then you put parentheses, you wanted to make it a little clearer, right? So he wants to make Revelation a little clearer for you. Now, this chapter 7 gives us three time zones. First of all, the time we're in right now, we are just before Antichrist comes. He is the instead of Christ. He's the false Messiah. He will call himself Theosata, God's Savior. He will call himself Jesus, and the whole world will go after him and have the body of Christ. So he takes us to this time. And then chapter 7 will take us to the first day of the millennium just as Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, Jesus is not flying away. He's staying right here on earth. And there'll be 1,000 years reign of Jesus with his adopt teaching. We'll all turn into our spiritual bodies. And then this chapter takes us to the end of the millennium. So there you have it. Now, last week in chapter 6, we were taught the six seals. Jesus opened the little book. He's the Lamb. And he explained the six seals in the book to John and told him to write them down. And then he told him to send them to us, the message of the church, and we're to teach them to you. Now, a seal is a sign. So he gave us six signs of the end. And we really found that all of those signs have basically taken place. Now, we learned that the sixth seal is the teaching of the false Messiah coming first, except they'll call him the real Messiah. And he is Antichrist. Anti doesn't mean against. It means he's going to pretend to be Christ, the fake one. Now, who is it always going to be God? You know who, the devil. That's the devil with his Jesus costume on. However, last week, we took a field trip over to Mark 13, where Jesus so beautifully explains there the six seals, and Jesus went on to the seventh seal and even to the second coming of Jesus. But right now in Revelation, we've only covered the sixth seal. Now, since six is the Antichrist, this is the first six in the triplet of sixes, 666, the mark of the beast. Okay, got that? Now, don't forget that because I'm going to teach you the rest of it. Now, next week, we're going to get into the seventh seal, which leads us to the seventh trumps. A seal is a sign, but a trumpet is an action when the sign becomes reality. Now, with that in mind, let's begin.
Chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth.
All right, now you've heard the expression, the four corners of the earth, and yet we know that Isaiah says that God sits on the circle of the earth, so we know the circle of the earth is round. It's a figure of speech, meaning all over the planet. Now, what is the wind? The wind is a symbol, a lot of symbology in Revelation, of the end of time as we know it, and we are at the end. Now, the wind is the Holy Spirit. We have one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let me practice my Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Got it. Okay, we have God the Father, Yahweh. We have God the Son, Yahweh's Savior, Yeshua Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach. Now, the Holy Spirit here is symbolized by the wind. You remember the book of Acts when the apostles and the women went up into the upper room waiting the Holy Spirit? And suddenly a noise as of a great rushing wind came in, and the Holy Spirit sat on them as cloven tongues of fire. And they spake in a language the whole world would hear. Now, elect, when you're delivered up to Antichrist, because you will not bow the knee, only a small group of Christians are not going to be deceived. The rest of them are. But when the elect will be brought up to Antichrist, we are to let the Holy Spirit speak. That's what's going to happen to you. It's a great and holy calling. Now back to the wind. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God showed Ezekiel some dead bones lying in a field. It was a prophecy of the dead body of Christ, comatose, inertia, lukewarm. If you heard the radio, you heard that one. Lukewarm here at the end of time. God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these dead bones live? Do you think the body of Christ can come alive at the end time? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest. I don't know, but I think you're going to tell me. So God says, preach the word to them, Ezekiel. So he preached the word of them, and the wind of the Holy Spirit began to breathe on them, and they came alive. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Yes, yes. See, I could sit here and tell you this, hallelujah, but except the anointing be on it, there's no life in it. You can pray every word in God's word, but except the anointing be there, it's dead. Yes. Holy Spirit is the wind. So what is this verse saying here in chapter 7? God is saying, it's time for me to have Michael kick Antichrist, Satan, out of heaven, which is going to be taught in Revelation 12 thoroughly. But he said, I'm waiting just a little while. Hold the end, Holy Spirit, because there's something that has to happen. Hold it just a little bit. Now we're going to find out why.
That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God.
Now that would be the truth. He has the truth. I do not mean one verse and 3 points. It is not a book about the book. It is not a tradition of men which makes void the word of God. It is not a quarterly. It is every word of God. It is the mystery of God, which is in the Bible, but so rarely heard. The seal, the truth.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees.
Okay, now hurt there in the Greek means halt. Hold back the end just a minute. Now, the tree would be you. Isaiah says you are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Satan, in Revelation 9, who is the king of the bottomless pit, Apollyon, son of perdition, Abaddon, the destroyer, has already been instructed by our God not to touch any green tree. Any person who has the seal of God in their forehead, do not touch them. Green means living. Now, here's why. Hold it back, he says. Hold back the end just a moment. Here is why.
Till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.
He says, okay, there are just a few more people that mine elect with the oracles of truth must reach so that they can get the truth in their foreheads and not be deceived. For the whole world shall go after Antichrist and half the body of Christ, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. There are some people who will hear the truth. Perhaps you are the one, and hold it back. Now we're going to find out how many there are.
4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Now, this would be just before Jesus comes. Jesus comes after the Antichrist. When we study the trumps, we'll get into that in chapter 8. We'll find that Satan comes at the 6th trump, Jesus comes at the 7th. When Jesus actually comes, everybody's going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into our spiritual body. Caught up in the air means to change it to your spirit body, not fly into the atmosphere. And so this is taking place just as Jesus comes. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
144,000 in biblical numerics means the whole of God's people, W-H-O-L-E. It's not a specific number. It's a figure of speech, a symbol. Everybody say the whole of God's people.
The whole.
This would be all 12 tribes of the house of Israel. Just as Romans 11, God says, I have 7,000 here at the end of time, elect, very elect, who will not bow the knee to Baal, to Antichrist. That doesn't mean there are just 7,000 of us, but it is a small number. Seven is God's number of perfection. Now, the 144,000 are of the 12 tribes. Now, let me explain this. You must get this. You have been taught that all 12 tribes are called J-E-W, Jew. The word Jew is in English all over the Bible, but it's not in the original manuscripts. There is only one brother called Judah, and he's one of the 12 tribes, Hebrew, like all the rest of us. Why, I'm of the tribe of Levi. You see, you don't call me Judah, but I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm of the priesthood, the tribe of Levi. And I say that humbly, but I want you to understand that. There are 12 tribes, and they had a split in the Bible. Two of them call themselves Judah, after the brother Judah, he was the elder, and Benjamin. And Ezra and Nehemiah, they went back to build the wall. In 1948, when Israel became a nation again, they went back. However, they took some imposters with them. And that's what the two type churches, Philadelphia and Smyrna, teach you that please Jesus. The imposters are the Kenites. They are the offspring of Cain, the seed of the devil. But what about the other 10 tribes? The Bible says Assyrian, the Assyrian Sennacherib, captured these 10 tribes. History tells us they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Great Britain, and they were then began to call themselves Ephraim, but they were still the 10 tribes of Israel. They had a spat, and Joseph's other brother, Manasseh, broke off from them, came over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, and these United States of America. We are a larger portion, Manasseh. And you must get this to understand what's about to happen. Now, the 144,000 are those people who do love Jesus. They're on every Christian television and radio. They're the big time. I'm surrounded by them. They love Jesus. But they have a fragment. They don't have the truth. They teach the lifeline proverb, but they love Jesus. Now, when Jesus, when the devil, Antichrist, has the very elect, the 7,000 are the very elect, the 144,000 are the elect, the tribes. When the 144,000, not a number, but God's whole people, see the 7,000 delivered up to Antichrist, and hear his Holy Spirit speak through us, at the last minute, while they're still in the flesh, they are going to renounce Satan and repent. If they waited until they did the body change, it would be too late. For where there's life, there's hope. While you're still in the flesh body, you can still repent. So you understand that they're going to lose a lot of their reward. It's going to be a lot of shame and humiliation. Elect, you have a great destiny. You have a great duty. That's why you're hearing this. It is a high honor to be delivered up to Antichrist, because when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, the 144,000, these are the big preachers. I hear them. They love Jesus. I never hear one of them get the mystery. They get right up to the door. They get a part of it. God bless their hearts. They're going to hear the truth. I have learned something, that there are people, if they could just hear the truth, they would get it. Some of you are beginning to hear the truth, and you're beginning to get it. You knew all of your life there was more to God's word than you've been taught. Hallelujah. There is. Okay, now we're going to list those tribes.
Five of the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000.
You noticed only one brother's called Judah? It wasn't all 12. If we were all Judah, see, Jew is not even the right word. The Greek is Eudas. They shorten it. They can't even pronounce it right. They call all 12 that. There are 12 of us, for heaven's sake. We're as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. He's Hebrew, like I am, Levi.
Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000.
Reuben.
Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000.
Gad.
Six of the tribe of Asher were sealed, 12,000.
Asher.
Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed, 12,000.
Naphtali.
Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed, 12,000.
Manasseh. Ephraim. Europe. Manasseh broke off. Atlantic Ocean, Canada, United States of America, those of you who are praying fervently for the salvation of America, we've got hope. 12,000 in America. Does that mean elect? No, they're deceived. But the few elect that are in America teaching the truth, when we deliver up to Antichrist, hallelujah, and the Holy Spirit speaks through us, all of these wonderful preachers with the big ministries, 550,000 programs every week, I mean, they're going to hear the truth, and they're going to run and renounce Satan at the last minute. Lots of shame, lots of humiliation. The book of Ezekiel tells their place in the millennium, and it won't be pretty, but they will be saved. So America, We just keep on praying. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have faith to believe that America will return to Jesus and the Bible. Manasseh, that's America. I'd have clapped my hands on that one.
Seven of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000.
Levi, the Levitical priesthood. Moses, Aaron. My granddaddy's name is Aaron. My dad's name is Korah.
Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000.
Now this would be Christians in desert places.
Verse 8, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000.
Zebulun are the Dutch people. They are Hebrews. See, we call them now different names. We say Irish, Scottish, England, Dutch, but all are Hebrews. So see, the names have changed. But Zebulun would be the Dutch people. They are Hebrews, the seed of Abraham.
Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
Now, if you're a scholar of God's word, you'll say, wait just a minute. Two are missing here. Where is Dan? And where is Ephraim, Manasseh's brother, Joseph's son? Well, they went into idolatry, and right here, just as Jesus comes, they are not in this picture. However, in the great millennium book of Ezekiel, I taught it a few years ago in the radio, in those millennium chapters, chapter 40 on through 48, at the end of the millennium, remember I told you this lesson would go to the end of the millennium, when he numbers the tribes again, we find that Ephraim and Dan have been reinstated. That is going to be a time of disciplined teaching by the Zadok, the very elect, those who overcome the temptation of Antichrist, and those who have gone on. Paul says in Romans 11, all Israel shall be saved.
Verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number.
Okay. Now, sometimes somebody will knock on your door and say there are only 144,000 people ever going to be saved. No. That's the elect. That's the tribes. The tribes are the elect and the very elect of the 7,000 not deceived, because the tribes are, for the most part, most of you don't even know whether you're a tribe. Most everybody that's out of my voice is one of those biological tribes. You've not just been taught correctly. But they'll knock on your door and say there are only 144,000 people going to be saved. No. There are multitudes. These that he's about to list, you will hear them say nations and so forth. That means ethnos. This is all the races, all the Gentiles. Whosoever will may be saved. Now, what this is about to show you is that there are all these people who have lived before us, who've come one time through their mother's womb and have accepted Jesus and their sins are forgiven. Even if they believed something like the lie proverb, they never worshiped the devil. They didn't get deceived, you understand? So that's good for them. They are there. They are going back. They are with him. So we have the very elect, Zadok, teaching. We have the elect, the 12 tribes, and we have whosoever will, the nations. And he's going to tell us who else is there.
Of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues.
See, that's all of the ethnic races. God loves all these people. In Genesis 1, chapter 26, the word Adam there, when he made man, it doesn't mean that man Adam married to Eve. That's another story. This one in the manuscripts means mankind in general. Look at them all. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And you know what he said there in Genesis 1? He said, very good.
Stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
All right, the overcomers, their clothes are woven out of the righteous acts after salvation. For every time you win somebody to Jesus, for every time you yourself or you help someone get the real truth of God out to this world, that weaves your robe. We're going to talk about that in Revelation 19. Isn't that something? They took their dirty black sins, dipped them in red blood, and they came out white. Isn't that beautiful? Reminds me of what Richard Roberts said. He said, how does a brown cow eat green grass, give white milk, and yellow butter? So, I mean, God is a miracle. Isn't he a miracle? Now, what about the palms? The palms mean victory. Victory. It also means the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacle is when God comes to tabernacle with us. Remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the, I'll say, donkey instead of the A word. Okay, I'm on the air. And they strew palm fronds in front of him and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna means save now. They said, Jesus, tabernacle with us right now. Set up your kingdom right now. Jesus said, no, I've got something to do. I've got to die, shed my blood, arise from the dead, and wait over 2,000 years to go before I do that. But now, he's coming back, and this time he's going to tabernacle with us. You know, when Jesus comes at the second coming, he's never going to leave the earth again unless he just wants to in his spirit, but his habitation will be here. He's staying here for the 1,000 years teaching. There's a dock in Jesus right on planet earth. The Bible says that. And then at the end of Revelation, God the Father, at the end of the millennium, God the Father brings the heavenly Jerusalem down here, and heaven will be on earth. So those of you trying to fly your way, you're going to miss Jesus. You better stay. Jesus said, stay in the field. Jesus said, the field is the world.
Ten, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne.
Now, angels are sons of God minus the flesh. Remember when Jesus was asked, well, you know, am I going to have this husband? Is my husband, I'm going to know my husband, and we're going to be married? He said, no, you don't marry and all that. He said, you are as the angels. An angel is a son of God minus the flesh. So this would be all of the people at that point. Now, that's not everybody yet, but that's at that point, okay? Right, just as Jesus comes, just before he comes, if already there.
And about the elders and the four beasts.
The elders are the 24 elders around the throne. We learned that in Revelation 1. That's the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes, the heads of the 12 tribes, and the 12 apostles. What about the four beasts? Beast is a poor translation. It reads in the Greek, the four living creatures. They are the protecting cherubs around the throne. The Greek there goes K-R-B, cherub. And when you say it in the manuscripts, it's keep, guard, grab, and grasp. So they are there. What a magnificent scene.
And fell before the throne on their faces.
On their faces.
And worshiped God.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you love to worship God?
Yes.
Or do you do it out of duty? When I lift my hands and say, praise the Lord, did your soul lift your hands, or did you do it because you were supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sing out of love for him? Do you pray out of love for him? You run to church, you can't wait to get in. This is the most holy place. God absolutely lives here. His presence is powerful in here. You should fall on your face when you come in. Do you worship him? I can't wait to worship you, Lord. You know, when you love somebody, you can't wait to love them. And worship is love. Hosea 6:6, I don't want your burnt offerings, I want your love. Mercy translated to love. Make sure that you are loving to worship him. When you do things because you ought to, you lose your reward and you lose your blessing. I mean, sometimes we just have to do things because we ought to, but why don't you do a think over and do it because you want to?
12, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might.
Now, these are the seven spirits of God. I've mentioned them in an earlier teaching, which are mentioned in Revelation chapter 1. It says the seven spirits are before the throne and can get God's face at any time. The seven spirits of God sitting before the throne, that's their names, blessing, wisdom, thanksgiving, glory, honor, power, and might. They can get God's face any time for the 7,000 elect, if the elect get in danger, because the elect have such a magnificent assignment here at the end to bring the truth down to the 144,000 and the world.
Be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. That's that final word.
13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what of these which are arrayed in white robes?
Okay, now an elder is someone who's mature in God's word. So this would be someone who has lived on planet earth, who was called and chosen of God, and has gone back with him. You notice he said he answered. He really didn't ask him a question. A lot of times in teaching, a teacher will say, Jesus would say, let me ask you a question. I often do that. Here's why. When I say, let me ask you a question, your brain jumps up. Because if I start just telling you something, you might not be listening. Let me ask you a question. You're going to sit up and so you can answer the question.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing. So he's really... Now, listen what John says. This is cute.
And whence came they? 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest.
I don't know, but I think you're going to tell me. He answered the same way Ezekiel did in Ezekiel 37 when God said, can these dead bones live? Thou knowest.
And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation.
Overcame Jacob's trouble, the tribulation of the Antichrist. Daniel started it out 7 years. Then he said, times and a half time, 3.5 years. Mark 13, we studied it last week. We did a field trip there. And Jesus says, I'm shortening for the elect's sake. And Revelation 9 tells us twice that the king of the bottomless pit, who is the Antichrist, time is 5 months. Then he gives us another clue, the locust army, which will be the fallen angels coming with Satan. The time of the locust in nature is from May to September, 5 months. Jacob's trouble. Now the whole world is going to worship the Antichrist, so they're not going to have trouble. He's coming as Jesus, Theosata. In other words, God's Savior. Well, Jesus is the Savior, right? So he's pretending to be him. Anti doesn't mean against. It means he's going to pretend to be. He's going to say peace and safety, cause Christ to prosper. Daniel says that. The whole world will go after him, Revelation 13, and half the body of Christ, half a wise and half a foolish. You have no oil in your lamp. Oil is truth. Truth is the word. And so, therefore, we have this tribulation of Antichrist. What the tribulation means trouble. What it will be, the few, the 7,000 who will know that it's not Jesus. It troubles us at our heart, not only to see the world worshiping the devil because they think he's God, but the greatest hurt is our brothers and sisters in the church that will be deceived. We love them. We know them. And we know they've been deceived. And all these years we've seen, come and hear the truth. So it's tribulation. There are two tribulations. At the seventh trump, after Antichrist, Jesus comes. That's Jesus' tribulation. He comes back with a cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. Jesus was not a wimp. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But Jesus knew then that once he paid that sin debt, shed his blood and arose, and then when he came again, all the world worshiping the devil and half the body of Christ, Jesus would have to pour his cup of wrath out. And he has compassion and hated to do it. Now for the elect who will not be deceived, Luke tells us that not one hair of your head shall be harmed. I mean, he just covers you with his feathers. Two tribulations.
And have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serving day and night in his temple.
You see, there are going to be degrees of rewards in heaven. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you overcome, if you are used of God, if you finally realize why you came to your mother's womb and get souls in and get truth out, I mean to behold his face. In the millennium, it tells us that the Zadok, the overcomers, will be right around Jesus and be the only ones around him. During that 1,000 years reign of disciplined teaching, I want to be close to him, don't you?
And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.
He will dwell among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Again, at the end of the millennium, God the Father's bringing the heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21 will teach that down on earth. Earth replenished, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right here in Jerusalem, and we shall dwell on heaven on earth, those of us who have saved. All evil will have walked into the lake of fire and be gone.
16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more.
No more hungering and longing and seeking, for now we see through a glass darkly. Amos 8:11 says there's a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but of every word of God. But Isaiah says at that time the word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea.
Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
The president said, if you can't, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Boy, when you're on the front line in battle and you're winning souls and you're an elect teaching the whole truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the mystery of God, you get the heat, you get persecuted, not by the world only, but by the 144,000. In the book of Ezekiel, that very small group, that Zadok elect around Jesus, it says their robes will have no sweat, no more sweat, no more heat, no more persecution. Beside the millennium, the devil's going to be locked into the abyss 1,000 years, so he can't go and whisper, false prophet.
17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them.
Revelation 22, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. Jesus says, you eat my body, you drink my blood, you have eternal life.
And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
No more tears, no more pain, no more loneliness, no more confusion, no more sickness. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if you've not accepted Jesus, I want you to, right there where you are in Airland, tell him you have sinned. Confess your sins to him. Repent. Tell him you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. My announcer is going to give you my telephone number. You might like to call me and I'll pray with you for salvation. You also might like to call me for healing in the name of Jesus. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and with his stripes, you are healed. God bless all of you. Next week, we will begin. We'll get the seventh seal, which leads us into the seven trumpets. We're going to find we're already in the fifth trumpet. That's why I'm teaching you a time of learning, and six will be the Antichrist. That'll be the second six of the 666. I love you. Now, you stay in God's Word. And remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless you. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
As I cover up my head, somewhere in the distance, I remember yesterday, singing hallelujah, full of wonder and praise. But now I'm just wondering why I don't feel anything at all. This is a moment made for worshiping. is another new place to start. Do you know this is a moment made for worshiping? 'Cause this is a moment I'm alive. This is a moment I was made to sing. A song of living sacrifice for every moment that I live and breathe. This is a moment made for worshiping. Every single beat of my heart is another new place. This is a moment I'm alive. This is a moment I was made to sing. A song of living sacrifice for every moment that I live and breathe. For every moment that I live and breathe. For every moment. This is a moment made for worshiping. This is a moment made. This is a moment made. Made for worshiping. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun.
Now through Befriended by the King above all kings. Surrender, surrender to a friend above all friends. Invited, invited deep into this mystery. Delighted, delighted by the wonders I have seen. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. Astounded, astounded that your gospel beckoned me. Surrounded, but I've never been so free. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have me. This will be my story. This will be my song. A song I sing. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. Determined, determined now to live this life for you. You're so worthy. My greatest gift will be the least you're due. This will be my story. This will be my song. You'll always be my savior, Jesus. You will always have my heart. This will be my story. All you've done in me, and this will be my song. You'll always be my Savior. Jesus, you will always have my heart. You're so worthy. My greatest gift would be the least you're due. Jesus, you're so worthy. My greatest gift would be at least you're due. My greatest gift would be at least you're due.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Falling down. live in the wonder of your love. You rise like the sun in my heart. Even when the night draws near me, there you are. I will wait in the water of mercy. I will walk in
You're listening to WMIE on your radio dial, 91.5, as well as W272BA 102.3 FM.
I am on the other side of the radio, wondering why I'm here and why anybody cares what I say. No, I'm not a better